Good morning, this is Paul Ingram of PainScience.com. It is Friday, May 19th, and this is your audio version of today's post, What Do People Think Triggered Their Back Pain? More than 20 years ago, just getting started as a registered massage therapist, I started in 2000, worked for 10 years, so really early on, in the first two or three years, I noticed that people had a lot of odd ideas about what triggered their back pain. Many of them seemed, harmless. Almost anything that happened in the 24 hours before the onset of back pain was getting the blame, whether it made any sense or not. I folded my laundry quite vigorously the day before this started, and I was like, I've made a huge mistake. Or I broke wind, an immensely powerful fart, and then just 23 hours later, bam, back pain. Coincidence? I think not. Am I right? I'm exaggerating for comic effect, but not that much. There were definitely times when a very earnest trigger report struck me as absurd. Even when the trigger was much closer to the onset of pain, it was often surprisingly trivial, seemingly incapable of actually causing any back pain or even triggering it. I was waving at someone, but, you know, gently, like a queen wave, and then, bam, that's exactly when my lumbar spine attacked me. Or I opened the fridge and that's when it happened. Reckless, I know. Triggers just didn't seem to have a very compelling or informative relationship with back pain. And this was one of my earliest significant clinical observations, and a bit contrarian, because almost all of the assumptions that people made about triggers were consistent with the very prevalent structuralism in the business, in the field of body pain. That bias is clearly evident in the way that people attribute triggers to their back pain, and I was noticing something that was at odds with that, so that's why it seemed a bit contrarian. It was really the beginning of me noticing that these explanations for pain had problems. But I had very little back pain trigger science to compare notes with. I had to wait several more years for that. But in 2010, Suri et al. Studied trigger reports in 150 people who had back pain and associated intervertebral disc herniations. Not all herniations are painful, but these ones were. So this is 150 people who did have pain and confirmed herniations. Some kind of inciting event, a trigger, was reported for about 40%, and only about 9% of those involved any kind of lifting. It also didn't seem to matter what the trigger was. There was no link between any known trigger and the severity of the case, not even heavy lifting triggers. And most cases, over 60%, had no trigger at all, spontaneous herniations. Not only can disc herniations just happen for no apparent reason, but that's actually how it usually goes. And now, for some truly exciting audio content, I will read you a giant list. This is actually the focus of the post, but it's basically just a list. It's the 31 back pain triggers identified by at least one of about 60 people. The first category is the largest. This is non-lifting physical activities, and this is where most of the sillier ones are, the more trivial ones. So specific movements like bending, leaning, misstepping, reaching, slipping without falling. Now that one doesn't seem so trivial to me. That can be bad. Twisting and walking. Then there's activities of daily life. I think this is where the most trivial ones are. Closing doors, well known for its dangerousness. Dressing, household tasks like vacuuming or washing the car, making the bed. This is what I meant when I said above that I wasn't exaggerating all that much, teasing someone for, you know, blaming laundry folding. I really did hear things like that. Not far off, and here it is in a scientific paper, making the bed as a trigger for back pain. Shoveling snow, transferring in and out of bed, transferring in and out of car, yard work and maintenance, flooring, tilling. This says tilling. I assume that means tiling. Roofing, Then sports and recreation, of course, obviously a rich well of possibilities. Golf, gym exercise, squatting, hockey, skiing, tennis. All of these make more sense to everyone, probably, as back pain triggers. Then we get into the lifting. There's both heavy lifting and light lifting. In the heavy lifting category, there's moving furniture, transferring a patient, or very heavy loads of greater than 75 pounds. And again, I'll remind you that only about 9% of the trigger reports, which was only 40% of the whole group, reported anything to do with heavy lifting. And some of those weren't heavy lifting, they were light lifting, like light loads, a ladder or a box, very light lifting, like a box of tissue paper. That's actually here. So again, we see that the comedy above wasn't that exaggerated. Very light lifting, a box of tissue paper. That it was listed by at least one of the people who reported a trigger. Non-exertional occurrences include coughing, prolonged sitting, and sneezing, and physical trauma included falling and one motor vehicle accident. So quite a list, really running the gamut from implausible as a mechanism of injury to highly plausible, such as a motor vehicle accident. Those results are nicely in line with the observations that I made early in my career. Almost anything could be considered a trigger, and many triggers are trivial. There's often no clear trigger at all. The stereotypical trigger of bad lifting is actually surprisingly rare. The relationship between triggers and back pain is generally messy and uncertain, and the trigger has very little to do with the severity of the case, probably because in many cases the trigger is just speculative and didn't actually have anything to do with it. And that's your post reading for today. Talk to you next time.